Oh yeah, here we go, getting loose, running the two-man game once again. Bart and Bombi Show is back. We're doing it live. We just rocked our SC segment. Now it's on to the NFL. Bart, holler at these people, son.
What a huge week in the NFL. I mean, I'm still kind of on cloud nine over that Jacksonville play. And then, what the hell happened on Monday night? We saw the coming out party for Michael Vick of the ages. Fantasy owners rejoice. And, you know, Washington's a mess right now. I don't understand how you give Donovan McNabb a huge pay raise after a week after benching him and then go out and get drubbed like that. And division races, this could be the best finish to a season that we've seen in a very long time, and I'm so looking forward to it.
I was blown away by Michael Vick. Obviously, you were too. It was unbelievable. Bart, let's talk that NFL, doggy. What a weekend in the NFL, Bart. It's been unbelievable. The plays that we've seen, the endings we've seen, and to anyone who wasn't watching football this weekend, this is what you missed.
Or just depend on the deep guys to knock it away. Gerard steps up, fires, Mike Sims Walker, knocked down.
Hail Marys don't happen every day, Bart. They don't even happen every year. It happened this week. David Garrard, Jacksonville, launches one down the left sideline to their boy, Mike Sims-Walker. Defenses know how to defend these things now, Bart. It was completely put on lockdown by the Texans. A Texans defender who will remain nameless on this show deflects the ball right to Mike Thomas. Hail Mary touchdown score. End of the game. And they basically put our Texans out of the playoff picture, Bart, with that play.
That was a dagger right there. We said it. We said it straight up. We think they'll beat Jacksonville. It should beat Jacksonville. But if they don't, then their season's pretty much over. And that's exactly what happened. For it to happen the way it did, to fumble going in for a potential game-winning field goal, only to have that play rebound. That's what they call the play. Only to have it go the way they wanted it to. It was amazing football. I mean, you know, I feel bad about my pick losing the way it is. I like the Texans, I really do, but, I mean, I wouldn't trade that play in for anything.
It was an unbelievable play. I got a little bit of a correction. I had Jacksonville in that game. I had no idea it was going down to the wire. I thought one of them was going to backhand the other one. Both teams came to play. They fought for their coaches. They fought for each other. It ended up being a barn burner. Bart, do you feel like Houston now is out of it? Or with that game, with that performance coming so close, what do you think we're going to see from them this weekend?
They're going to get thumped by New York. I know New York kind of plays down to their competition a little bit, but you know, Mark Sanchez right now is playing quality football. The running game is getting going. They're getting Santonio Holmes more involved. And we talked about it last week. Houston's defense just isn't a playoff defense, and right now they've got holes everywhere. And I think that New York's going to be able to exploit that. And you know, they'll be competitive for sure. And they still have Arian Foster, but I really don't see them going to New York and beating the Jets.
I agree. I just wanted to touch on the Houston thing because it's been a running theme. But I believe they're done. Bart is seeing the error of his ways. I thought they had more too. I thought they could have been a great team. I thought they were ready to take the next step. I loved the things I was hearing in the preseason. I loved watching them smack Indy in the mouth in week one. I thought they had arrived. I was wrong. Something down in the trenches isn't right. We talked about Schauber last week. Both of us, maybe Bart said it off air, but we have both said there's something wrong with Schaub. Something there is not right. We all know Andre Johnson's a bit off. We got that proof this week, actually today. Matt Schaub, bursa sack injury, had to go to the hospital. I'm not too familiar with that injury. Do you know anything about it, Bart?
No, I don't know much about it. I know it's not a considerably serious injury. And guys can play off of it, but it's an injury that leaves you very uncomfortable. That's really pretty much the extent of which I know.
Yeah, obviously it was annoying him because he wasn't playing like the Schauber of old, like the Schauber of 2009. Hasn't been flinging it as much. Maybe he's not comfortable planning. Who knows? But bottom line, I agree with Bart. They're going into New York, and they're getting stomped. Let's get to the Thursday game, Bart. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. We're here in the booth on Wednesday instead of Friday. We get a shot at this Thursday game. It's a beautiful thing. You and I are huge football fans. We love this time of season when those Thursday games start coming at us. Chicago at Miami. Two teams. Miami, we've said in the past, will not make the playoffs. Chicago, reluctantly, we said they will make the playoffs last week. It looks like they're marching. Chicago at Miami, 8:20 on Thursday. That's Eastern time. Who you got, Bart?
I'm going to go Chicago, and I think simply because with Miami's quarterback situation is a mess. I mean, Tyler Thigpen, a couple of years ago for Kansas City, I believe, did come in and actually play some solid football. I think he was more of a fantasy asset than he was a real-life asset. But at the same time, they can't run the ball. You know, who knows if he's going to provide them in the passing game. You know, Brandon Marshall has been pretty much non-existent. You know, I know they got Anthony Fasano involved, but right now I don't see Miami really kind of having the production they need in order to beat a Chicago team that's actually playing with some confidence right now. You know, I know Matt Forte hasn't been lighting it up, but him and Chester Taylor have had a pretty decent combination the last couple games of theirs. Devin Hester seems to be getting back in the mix, and right now he seems to be getting his mojo back as far as the kick returns are concerned. Here's one thing I noticed in that game last week. There was balance on the Chicago side. I don't know what they did over the bye week, but someone must have replaced Mike Martz's brain with a brain from an actual offensive coordinator who gets it. Because they ran more plays than they passed. They kept the protection. They kept Jay Cutler from getting sacked because they didn't need to drop him back 50 times. They took the pressure off the offensive line. They let the running game get going. And then once you get the running game going, kind of like what we talked about in the SC segment, you get the play action going. And say what you want about Cutler. He really can disguise a mean play action. And he does throw a beautiful ball. And he got the tight ends involved. And I like Chicago in this game.
Yeah, I was dumbfounded. I was really impressed by the game that Mike Martz put together. And I don't think I've said that since the Ram years. The guy makes you say, wow. He makes you say, I can't believe he just ran that play. He doesn't impress you with an overall game plan. He impressed me this week. He pounded Olsen early. Olsen almost had two touchdowns. He ended up with one. One was negated. He went to Olsen early, made the defense respect the tight end game. And when the defense rested back on their heels a little bit, then he kept the tight ends in to pass, took a little bit more chances. I was impressed. Chicago made a believer out of me. We talked about this game, and I talked about the fact that I hate Cutler and I hate Farva, and I couldn't pick, so I went with AP. I went with the background guys. Huge mistake. Chicago spanked Minnesota. They spanked me for picking against them. I'm not going to do it again until I see something from Miami. Brandon Marshall has not been Brandon Marshall since he got to Miami. They haven't figured out how to get this guy in the end zone very much, bottom line. And if Brandon Marshall's not scoring for them, that means the passing game isn't working for them, and that means a Chicago victory. Real quick, before we ditch this game, Bart, why do you think Matt Forte hasn't been getting the carries, the touches, and producing the fantasy points that people have, you know, grown to expect from him from the first few weeks?
Well, he's getting taken off on third downs, for one thing. He's not as involved in the passing game as he was earlier in the season. And their offensive line just isn't that great. We previewed it at the beginning. They don't have a strong offensive line. Running the ball is not their strong suit, so it takes quite a few carries for him to get those yards that he needs. You're seeing him be somewhat of the running back he was last year. He doesn't have the burst off the line and through the hole that he had at the beginning of the year. I think he's starting to wear down a little bit, and I think that's why you're starting to see Chester Taylor get more involved in the offense. And people forget Chester Taylor ran for 1,200 yards 4 years ago. The guy can do it. He's a perfect back complement to Matt Forte. And I think they're just trying to get both guys involved because you're seeing one guy starting to get better as the season goes on, the other guy starting to fade a little bit.
Chester Taylor's definitely an asset. I got to disagree with you a little bit. I think he's a little bit too good to be a backup to Forte. You're seeing him suck into Forte's playing time a little bit. Forte's suffering on the fantasy front, not doing the things he did in the early weeks, and I don't see it changing. Bart told you, Chester Taylor has moved into that third down, you know, back slot, and he's not going to give that up, and he's probably going to gobble up a few more chances. So adjust accordingly. Look for Forte's fantasy value to drop a bit. Don't say we never did anything for you. Let's move on. Let's get to those Sunday morning games, Bart. Buffalo at Cincinnati, an absolute stink bomb, but we're going to talk it for fantasy reasons. Fred Jackson, CJ Spiller went down last week. Fred Jackson looks bona fide. We know about T.O. in Cincinnati. Let's talk about this game, Bart, from a fantasy perspective rather than calling a winner here. What do you like? What performers do you like in this game, Buffalo at Cincy?
Well, I think what you saw last week was the resurgence of Fred Jackson. Everyone who's known Fred Jackson or owned Fred Jackson over the last couple of years has seen him be the man down the stretch when Marshawn went down, and you started to see that this past week against Detroit. So I think what you're going to see is the Fred Jackson saga continue. I think he'll be an excellent fantasy play this week. And as far as the receivers are concerned, T.O. is going to go off. This is his game. He's a better receiver than Chad Ochocinco. He's the first option in the offense, and he's a deep threat for Cincinnati. So I think T.O. is going to have a mega game for him. And Steve Johnson, you'll see have a nice bounce back game. He was kind of bottled up last week against Detroit. He had one long pass that was dropped that could have gone for a touchdown that would have gotten him over the hump. But, you know, he's the number one option. Roscoe Parris is injured, so it gives him more opportunities. And I think the quarterbacks will continue to do what they do, but there won't be anything too special. Hopefully this is a game where Cedric Benson gets back on track, because Buffalo's run defense is absolutely terrible. The one gem from this game that I think, if you had to take a flyer at one player, and maybe you even need help with this position, is the tight end, Jermaine Gresham. Buffalo is the worst team in the league in giving up points to tight ends. You're starting to see Jermaine Gresham get a little more involved in the offense. They like to throw to him in the red zone. He's Carson Palmer's security blanket, and he's one of those guys who might have a huge impact if he's still available in a lot of leagues' waiver wire. So he's that one guy where if you have struggling at tight end, you need the position, go out, get Jermaine Gresham, and lock him in there, and you should be well-rewarded.
There it goes. Bart just solved your tight end problem, and he solved the Buffalo issue. A lot of people, a lot of middle-of-the-road teams especially, counting on those Buffalo guys. I think you can count on Fred Jackson. Bart lets you know, I haven't seen a lot of Steve Johnson. I know you guys are wondering if he's going to keep it up. Bart says yes. Fitzpatrick, don't expect the moon. Carson, don't expect the moon. And T.O. is going to keep being T.O. Let's move on, Bart. Detroit at Dallas. Let's look at this from a reality perspective. Dallas pummeled the G-men. You and I didn't see it coming. Now Megatron goes to Dallas. Who you got in this one, Bart?
Well, I'll tell you what, when I was watching football this past weekend with some buddies, our buddy Joe, who's a Dallas fan, was telling everybody that Dallas was going to go in there and thump New York. And we're all mocking him. We're all laughing at him. And we were the ones getting mocked at the end of the game because Dallas went in there and thumped New York. And I didn't see it. This was a game that the team that had given up on their coach for the last month, and all of a sudden they were playing with pride. And in Detroit, you have a team that plays hard. They have Megatron. Their running game hasn't been able to get going, but Sean Hill can throw the ball and sling it, with the best of them. But they are a team that finds ways to lose. They're not a team that knows how to win at this point. And Dallas, I don't want to say they turned the corner, because I don't believe they have. I think that was a flash in the pan. But this should be a very entertaining game. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. You have two backup quarterbacks who, right now, fantasy-wise at least, are gems in Kitna and Hill, putting up mega points. They've got stud wide receivers to throw to in Dez Bryant and Calvin Johnson. And right now, I think this is going to be a close game. I'm actually going to go with an upset here. I'm going to take Detroit. I know they've been losing a lot, and they're finding more ways to lose and win. But this is going to be one of those games where I think Dallas is going to come back to earth. I think they might be a little overconfident. And this is going to be a high-scoring game. I like Detroit, maybe 35-32.
Wow, hell of a pick. I think I'm going the same way. I like Sean Hill. I've brought it up on this show, much to Bart's chagrin. I think he could have ran San Fran, all the way to a division title. I'm not sure he'll ever get a shot in Detroit, but Stafford will keep going down. He'll get a chance to shine, in individual games and in fantasy. He's a stud. He can manage the game. He can work the tight end game. He doesn't have the deep ball. Don't look for him to throw it 60 yards in the air. He doesn't do that. He can do everything else in my mind, and I agree with Bart. It would be a signature win for this Detroit team for the 2010 season, and I think they go in and get it. Kitna's terrible, with all due respect to what he did last week. With all due respect to what Dallas did last week, I got Detroit. Before we get away from this game, I just want to ask you, Bart, how big was it for Dallas to can Wade Phillips?
Oh, it's huge. It was huge. Everyone wants to use the cliche, he was the cancer in the locker room. But, the players had given up on him. He had lost the locker room. Players didn't want to play for him. And it wasn't necessarily they didn't want to play for him himself. You know, it wasn't a personal thing. But if you're a coach on a team like that and you know for a fact that your team, your players, even the owner has tuned you out, that's a bad recipe. You're not going to have success. You're not going to win games. And I'm not really sold on Jason Garrett, to be honest with you, as their main guy. I really think it would be beneficial for them to, even if he's successful, to go in a different direction at the end of the year, bringing a guy like Cowher or you know, even a guy like Brian Billick, you know, guys who have won Super Bowls who know what it takes. But, you know, they needed a different voice. They needed a guy who's going to come in here, a younger guy who is going to take no nonsense from the team, and that's exactly what they got. And it was an emotional game against a division opponent.
We'll definitely be diving into the Dallas coach topic in the summer. I don't believe he's the right guy either. I think they need a big name. They need a disciplinarian over there. He seems to have a little touch of that. I just don't know that he's the guy. If he was the guy, he should have done something on Wade's behalf over the last 2 years. They've been terrible. That team absolutely stinks. They're going to finish up their stinker 2010 year. Washington at Tennessee, Bart. Strange game. Donovan, Vince Young. This looks like CJ is set to pop in this one. Washington at Tennessee. Who you got, Bart?
I'm going to go with Tennessee. I don't like Washington at all. I don't like McNabb. McNabb stinks. I mean, he's terrible. I think this is going to be a bounce-back game for Tennessee. They just got embarrassed by Miami. They lost Kerry Collins and Young, I don't think, was ready to come back in the game, but he had to come back in the game. I think this is a game where now that, you know, Randy Moss has gotten his one game under the belt that they can exploit. Washington's secondary has been terrible this year. They're very leaky. I mean, they had one great game when Cutler made D'Angelo Hall look like Ronnie Lott. But other than that, you know, this is going to be a game where, like you said, Chris Johnson should be able to get rolling. I think they'll open up a play-action pass for him and Moss, and you'll see Young. You might even see Young make a connection to Moss. You might see Young make some more connections to Nate Washington because the coverage is going to roll Moss's way. But I think this is going to be one of those games where the Titans pretty much take control in the second half and win handsomely.
Yeah, I have this as a blowout. I think you can, you know, pack up the car, pack up the wife and kids, start driving to Vegas right now. I think Tennessee is going to absolutely crunch the Redskins. And Bart, we didn't mention it at the top of the show. We didn't really need to. We could dive into it whenever we want. You and I don't need an excuse, really, to talk, Donovan. Story of the week for me, off the field, anyways. Donovan McNabb receives an extension. The whole world says, what the hell is this all about? The timing was fishy. No idea why they extended him. It looks like his agent screwed up, Bart. I think Washington lowered their cost of canning this guy at the end of the season from a whole lot of millions to right around the $3 million mark. It looks like they pulled the wool over his eyes. What do you know about this story, Bart?
Well, I know the deal has been on the table for months now, pretty much since he's been on board, but I think there was one of those situations where they were going to let the season dictate what was going to happen with it. Obviously, it's not going as well as they thought. And, it looks like a restructuring of the deal, current deal he has, to give him a little bit more money up front now, and then they have an opt-out clause saying that if we release him, then he only gets X amount of money. And that X amount of money is less than what he would have gotten had they released him in the first place.
Right.
So it's really all about guaranteed money right here. They restructured his deal, gave him a few million dollars right now to make him happy, but pretty much took away some of the millions that they owed him on the back end. And so now, if they do decide to go with somebody in a different direction next year and they do decide to release him, then they're not going to be on the books for a specific amount of money that they would have owed him had they just dumped him at the end of the season. So, I agree. Whoever did this draft of this contract, they're geniuses. I mean, they must be getting like a Ferrari, Lamborghini, or you know, a Bentley from Daniel Snyder for Christmas, because they just saved him a whole mess of money.
Oh yeah, somebody in the front office, I think they were all toast and champagne, and just like Bart said, someone got a promotion, someone got a pat on the back, someone got a bump up the ladder. We mentioned it a couple weeks ago. We mentioned it last week. And nothing in this extension is changing our minds. I'm not going to speak for Bart, but he can back me up. Donovan is one and done in Washington.
I agree.
He's one and done. I mean, that's the bottom line. This guy is out of here. He hasn't shown enough. Shanahan's a no-nonsense guy. If you don't have the goods, you're out. Donovan's out. This team is out. And Tennessee is going to house them. Let's move on, Bart. I don't need to talk this game, but we're going to because it has implications for our teams. Arizona at KC. Who you got, Bart?
I think this will be a nice bounce-back game for KC. They've had two gut-wrenching losses, a close one to the Raiders, and just an absolute ass-pounding by the Broncos. Arizona's a mess right now. Their defense is in shambles. Their offense is terrible. They can't run the ball. Their quarterbacks are god-awful. The Kansas City Chiefs are coming home in a tough place to play. They're pissed off. And this is going to be a murder. I tell you, I don't think this is going to be a close game. This is going to be over by halftime.
This game's going to be ugly. Two-game parlay. Bart and I just gave you a whole lot of money. Tennessee and Kansas City. This game to me is a laugher. I don't mean to laugh at Arizona, but they did this to themselves. Their coach ran Matt Leinart out of town. I don't care. I am not a Matt Leinart apologist, but I do not care how bad his attitude was. He was looking decent during the preseason, and Derek Anderson stinks. So Arizona's done this to themselves, so I'm going to chuckle a little bit, and I agree with Bart. Kansas City bouncing back. Jamaal Charles is going to dissect that offense. He might even take, you know, a little screen pass out of the backfield to the house. Let's get to the biggest game of the morning, Bart. Green Bay at Minnesota. Everyone knows what's at stake in this one. Who you got, son?
Green Bay's going to go in there and thump them.
Woo! I hope so. I just want to see a Mike Tyson one-round duster offer. I want to see Green Bay drop these guys, break them, finish their season, put this whole Minnesota storyline to bed. This team is an embarrassment, Bart. It seems like they're getting away from AP a little bit. They're doing the things that we said, we told the fans, hey, if you see Minnesota flinging it 40 times a game, if you see Brett Favre trying to be the hero, mark it down, it'll be a crappy season for Minnesota come 2010.
Yeah, exactly, and they're doing this whole no-huddle offense thing because it seems like that's what Brett likes to do to get him in the flow of things. And to be honest with you, the guy is getting murdered out there, and he doesn't have the mobility anymore, and the no-huddle offense seems to be the only way that he can get into a flow without putting himself in harm's way as far as sacks are concerned because he's doing this no-huddle thing. He's keeping the defense on the field, getting tired. They're getting quick passes out. But I tell you what, the defense for the Packers, they needed this bye week. They're going to be well rested. Clay Matthews and AJ Hawkinson are going to just murder Brett Favre. And I really hope they put him out of commission. I think Brett Favre, you mentioned it, Brett Favre wants to go out on a stretcher. He wants to go out with an injury so he doesn't have to make the decision himself to come back next year. He wants to do the way to the fans. He wants people standing up and cheering for him. And I think that he might get his wish this week. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to be rested. That defense is going to be all out for blood, and I think that they're going to get pounded.
Yeah, this fatalistic approach, it's something people aren't that comfortable talking about. And I wasn't that comfortable, you know, thinking it. When it popped into my mind, I was like, wait a minute. That's pretty strange, but the more I watch Brett Favre, the more I think about the arc of his career, you know, the retirements, the coming back, the retirements, the coming back, it always seemed like the end for him was going to be on a stretcher on the back of a cart, being carted off. Otherwise, this guy just has proven he will not go away. I admire his resiliency, but it's bordering on delusional at this point. Just like, you know, Bart just told you, he's not getting it done. Anyone else would have been benched by now. Last year was the anomaly. We spelled that out for you over the course of the summer. Favre's proven it. One interception week one. Three picks week two. Two picks week three. He comes back off the bye and only throws one at New Jersey. Wow, that's impressive. Throws for a buck 18 the next week against Dallas. Has a horrible game. Throws three picks at Green Bay earlier this year. One pick at New England, two with Arizona, three last week at Chicago. I don't mean to rub people's nose in it. It's a trend. He's going to keep throwing interceptions. He's only had one multiple touchdown game. Excuse me, he's had two. He's only had one three-touchdown game. To me, that'll be the only three-touchdown game he has, Bart. They're going to get blown off the field. Let's talk final score in this one. Let's just play a little devil's advocate here. What do you think?
I like Green Bay to score in the 30s, and I like Minnesota to score in the low 20s.
Nice. I was thinking the exact same thing. 35-20, something like that. It won't even be that close. Favre will tack one on at the end. That'll be music to fantasy owners' ears. To nobody else will care at all. and Minnesota's season will be officially done when they get swept by Green Bay. This one at Minnesota. Don't miss this game, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a bloodbath. I think it might be Brett Favre's last game. I think, you know, when you look at the writing on the wall, when you look at things, you know, from a faraway perspective, Green Bay might retire this guy, might do it this week. Do not miss this game. Let's talk the last morning game that I want to talk, Bart. Oakland at Pitt. Tell me, man, does my team have any shot?
Yeah, your team has a shot right now. With the injuries to the Pittsburgh's offensive line and the way that Oakland's defense has been playing, your team has a great shot. I mean, they went in there last year and they beat them. So I see no reason why they can't go in there and beat them. Pittsburgh coming off game against the Patriots where they got embarrassed at home. I think that's going to be play a big factor. They're not going to want to lose to Oakland. They're not two straights will absolutely kill them in the AFC playoff race. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh in this one simply because they're at home and they're coming off that loss, and I think they're going to be pissed off. That defense got embarrassed, and they're going to be pissed off. And even though Oakland's coming off a bye, I don't think they'll be able to sustain it for an entire game against Pittsburgh.
I want to pick my team in this one. I really do. I can't. I think it's going to be a slow, grind-em, you know, pounding game. Pittsburgh's going to keep it real low scoring. I'm not sure that my team, Oakland, knows how to win those games yet. I don't know that they know how to beat someone 10-7 instead of end up on the losing end of that stick. So I got to go Pittsburgh. Man, I love our run game. The things that Oakland became famous for over the last 6 to 8 years of mediocrity, if not absolute pathetic football, was a horrible offensive line and turning the ball over. Right now, we're pounding the rock with that offensive line, and we're taking care of the ball. That's got us 5-4. We're tied for first place in our division. I want to see us smack Pittsburgh in the mouth. I think we're going to have some nice plays. I think it could be 14-10, 10-7, something in there. But I got to go Pittsburgh on top. That's it with the morning games. There's also Baltimore at Carolina and Cleveland at Jacksonville. Tune into those if you feel like. We're moving on. Afternoon games, Bart, your team, Tampa at San Fran. Who you got, son?
This is a big game for us. I mean, we're at home, and we're coming off that win against the Rams to get us back in the race. We absolutely need this game if we're going to have any chance of getting to the playoffs. The Bucs, they've been very solid. They don't do anything very special. Josh Freeman has been great. They've been really good against bad teams. They haven't beaten a team with a winning record. So they almost remind me of Miami, the year Miami won their division. It was 2007, 2008. You know, when they went 11-5, I think, and won their division. They beat up on a soft schedule. So Tampa Bay's been doing that, but you're seeing the maturation process with the quarterback. But right now the 49ers have a different look and feel to them. Trey Smith, he's just letting it all out. He's being aggressive. He's throwing down the field more. I think Frank Gore is going to control the clock more than LeGarrette Blount would for them. And I like it to be a grinding out game, and I think we're going to pull it out. I think we're going to pull it out 21-17.
Why the hell not? Troy Smith is doing nothing but winning. That's all he's doing. Bart and I despise QBs that come in. Oh, he's 6'5", 220. His resume is pathetic, but he's got all the tools. Throw him in there. He should do well. No. Why? Why the hell should he do well? If he lost in college and he lost in high schools, why should he come up to the pros and be a winner? Troy Smith is a winner. He's proven it at every level. He won the Heisman, and he wouldn't get a shot at this level, partly because he didn't have all the tools, maybe partly because of that whole Heisman stigma of, yeah, you're a great college player, you can't get it done at this level. This kid's a winner. He's going to continue to win. I think they're going to win this week. I cannot overstate it. This is a huge game. Tampa Bay, ladies and gentlemen, it's not your father's Tampa Bay. This team is for real. They got good young talent. Raheem Morris has impressed me. Man, he deserves his own show. The way he started with Tampa, almost getting run out before even getting a chance to get going. And now what he has this team doing now, I'm impressed. But San Francisco has the talent. They always have. And now I think the coaching, the little bit of controversy they have over there, and Troy Smith at the helm, they're rounding out into form. I got San Fran as well. I got San Fran winning this division. We're going to harp on it. Bart and I both got San Fran. They're turning this season around. They're getting it done. They're marching. Let's move on. Another NFC West game. Seattle. They go to New Orleans to face the champs, Bart. Who you got in this one?
New Orleans is rested, coming off a bye. They're going to be getting Reggie Bush back. Seattle, I mean, they played well. They've had some good games, but yeah, New Orleans is going to thump them.
Let's talk about this game a little bit. Pete Carroll on the road. What do you think? Seattle's a hell of a home team. They haven't shown a whole lot on the road. Can they even play with these guys, Bart, or is this a blowout in the making?
No, they can play with them for sure. They proved it. They went on the road and beat Chicago, and when Chicago was playing really well, and Chicago's a pretty tough place to play, but you know, the way that dome gets rocking for New Orleans, and with Drew Brees and their offense being able to click the way it does, coming off a bye, getting one of their best playmakers back, they might keep it close early, but it's going to be over pretty quickly.
Yeah, there's certain games where your fan base expects to win, and they'll do everything they have to do to make that happen. This is one of those games. New Orleans and their fans are not going home with a loss on this night. Mark it down. New Orleans is going to stomp Seattle. That's all there is to say about that. Atlanta at St. Louis. Big game in your division. Not so big to anybody else out there. Atlanta at St. Louis, Bart, afternoon game. Who you got?
I'll tell you what, this is a trap game for me because Atlanta's coming off a really big win against an AFC opponent, a team that, you know, I think both of us picked to make it to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. And Atlanta's playing solid football. Roddy White has been unstoppable. Their running game scares me a little bit because Michael Turner can disappear at times. And I'll tell you what, the Rams, though they're not that great of a road team, they haven't won on the road this year. They're a really solid dome team. I know Atlanta's been able to shut down the running game pretty much all season, but Steven Jackson is a different beast, and he's got a different role in that offense. He's Mr. Everything. I'm going to go with an upset. Now, this is probably something that's going to come back and bite me, but I think the Rams are going to be able to pull it out, and I think it's going to be a hard-fought, close game, and one of those games that just drops Atlanta back into the middle of a very murky NFC. But I like the Rams. I'm going to go with the Rams.
Nice. This is a huge game. I didn't mean to play down the implications because it's huge in their divisions and it's huge in the region. St. Louis fans want this game. The dome is going to be rocking, but I got to go Atlanta. Michael Turner on turf. If they get him going at all, I think he'll explode. Steven Jackson's a workhorse back. He doesn't have a little bit of that explosiveness this year. He's still playing hurt. He's not injured. You know, he's not hindering his team at all. He's pumping out some nice fantasy points. He can't break the long one. He'll wear down over time. Atlanta will stick it out and win this one at the end, probably with a field goal. I got Atlanta and Bart Scott St. Louis. Let's move on. The biggest game on the slate by far and away besides Green Bay and Minnesota. This is game 1B, Indy at New England. Bottom line it for the folks, Bart. Who you got?
Wow, I'm so glad that they're meeting again. I'm so glad they're meeting again at Foxborough. It's been a while since Indy has gone into Foxborough. So, you know, I'm going to have to go, and I did this with the Philadelphia game. I'm going to have to go to Peyton Manning.
Wow.
Hanged up, and I know New England's coming off the game in Pittsburgh, and they're looking solid, but I'm going to have to go to Peyton Manning. I don't know what it is. I don't want to rule out Peyton Manning. I know he hasn't had very much luck in Foxborough in his career. Tom Brady right now seems like he's found the fountain of youth. But I'm going to go. You know, I think Joseph Adai actually play this week, which will give that running game a big boost. And I like Reggie Wayne to bounce back and actually have a very worthy game, both fantasy-wise and real-life-wise. And I like Peyton Manning to have the game in his hands with the ball at the end and get them the victory.
Nice. I think if Peyton Manning had two action figures, one of them would be called Indoor Peyton, where he's got a huge smile on his face and a big thumbs up, and his other action figure would be Outdoor Peyton, where you see the Peyton face that everybody knows, that face of confusion, disgust, etc., and a big, nice, sad look on his face, shoulders slumped over. Outdoor Peyton is not the same as Indoor Peyton. I think he's going into New England, and he's going to get backhanded. He's going to put up points. He's going to produce fantasy-wise. This game, even if it's a two-possession game, it'll get, you know, pared down to one possession. Peyton will put one up late. I got New England in this one. I think they have the potential to blow him away, depending on how dinged up Indy is on the offensive side of the ball. Their defense is dinged up. New England's going to do whatever they want. If they can't keep up on offense, they could get blown away. I got New England. Bart's got Indy. Let's move on to the Sunday night game. It's huge as well. This one has division implications. Giants at Michael Vick's Philadelphia Eagles. Who you got, Bart?
You got to go with Philadelphia and ride the hot hand.
For sure.
This is gonna. I'll tell you what, this is really the game, I think, that will decide the NFC East. And I know they play again at the end of the year. But right now, Michael Vick and that offense is rolling. They've got speed. I think they're the fastest team in the NFL. They've got speed all over the place. And you, like I said, you got to ride the hot hand. I don't know what happened in New York last week, but their defense just got shredded, and I don't see their defense coming back to form against Michael Vick in that offense. I mean, Michael Vick just gives you so many different options on offense, and it puts the defense in a really critical or terrible situation because they have to defend him. And even if you have two guys on him, you're not going to stop him. And, you know, those two guys are pretty much watching him. That means there's one less guy watching somebody else. And I know their defense is better than Washington, so it won't be a blowout, but it'll be a close game, and I think you'll see Philadelphia come out on top.
After last week, Tom Brady and Philip Rivers are barely holding off Michael Vick in the MVP race. Both of them are up above him. One performance does not an MVP make. He's going to make a run at it. This game will be another stepping stone at that run. Last week, if you don't know what he did, please don't take my word for it. Go find highlights online immediately. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. What he did last week was amazing, and he's going to blow the Giants up this week. It won't be like last week, but he's going to whoop up on them. I got Philly probably by double digit. Probably double digit, and it might get up into the 17-20-point range. If the Giants can't run the ball, they will do nothing in this game. Absolutely nothing, and they might get stomped. Bart, I want to talk about Philly a little bit. LeSean McCoy has faded. Man, Mike Vick, DeSean Jackson, they look like they're going to be hooking up the rest of the year.
Yeah, that first play from scrimmage was a thing of beauty. I mean, DeSean Jackson has so much speed, and you see the maturation process from Mike Vick just to be able to actually he used to be able to make those throws. And his accuracy has gotten so much better. His patience has gotten so much better. And you just see that the two have had a connection, and even him and Macklin had a connection, but him and DeSean Jackson seem to be on the same page. They're clicking right now. There's not a cornerback in the league that can cover him, and it's going to be a disaster for New York.
And that's a hell of a point you bring up about Vic. I will go on record as being one of the people I'm about to describe. There's a whole lot of people out there that said once Michael Vick cannot run and bust loose for these scampers, he's done in the NFL. And I was one of those people. I said, as soon as this guy loses that top gear and he comes back down to about fourth gear, he's done in the NFL. I no longer feel that way. And I'm not basing it just on last week. I'm basing it on what I've seen all year. But last week specifically, just like Bart said, he was making throws that in previous years he could not and would not make. And it wasn't just the deep ball. What he did down there in the red zone when he held the ball for 6 seconds and he pump faked and he flinched and then he held it and then he reset his feet and reset his feet. Steve Young, NFL great, Hall of Famer, San Francisco 49er legend. Steve Young could not get over Michael Vick's footwork this past weekend. He was blown away. One of the masters of footwork at the QB position was blown away by what Mike Vick was doing from the passing game. That has me believing that Mike Vick can play 5 more years, maybe more in this league. Bart, what do you think?
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to give him a fat contract. I really do. They're going to give him a really big contract, and he's going to earn it pretty much. It's going to be well-deserved. I mean, they're talking about Mike Vick for MVP.
Yeah, he's right there. He's nipping on the heels of Brady and Rivers. It's unbelievable. CJ's having a down year. He's not going to be in that discussion, at least a down year. For him, he's going to run rampant. He's going to do what he does. But yeah, those three guys are in the MVP race, and I don't think anybody saw that coming. But Mike Vick is there. Philadelphia's there. They're one of the teams to contend with in the NFC. The Monday night matchup, it's all about the AFC, Bart. Another division game. You brought this up last week. The NFL is really honing in on these divisional matchups. This one's got major implications for one team. The other team just wants to be the spoiler. Denver at San Diego. Who you got, Bart?
Well, I'll tell you what. Denver actually has a really solid chance of coming out and winning this division if the cards go their way. So this is a really big game for them, coming off a big win against Kansas City. But to me, San Diego is still a team to beat in that division. You know,
Phillip Rivers is just playing out of his mind right now. He's going to break Dan Marino's passing record, and he's making anyone, I mean, he could make you and I look good in that receiver core. Vincent Jackson's a couple weeks away from coming back. They got Antonio Gates back and healthy. You know, I think the running game worries me a little bit right now because Ryan Matthews has not been able to stay healthy at all. But, you know, they're going to get Darren Sproles more involved. They're going to get Mike Tolbert more involved. And because this game's in San Diego, is it in San Diego?
Yes, yes. Denver.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Chargers.
Nice. He's going Chargers. I want to call Denver. I want to believe in Denver. They're talented. I mean, we've talked about the year Brandon Lloyd has. We sort of think it's a fluke season. It doesn't show any signs of letting up this year. He continues to blow up. He blew up huge last week. I got to go Denver. I just got to go Denver. I think San Diego's in disarray. I think they really mismanaged the Marcus McNeil, Vincent Jackson situation. I understand that they needed to lay down the law. I think there was a different way to go about it. I gotta call Denver. So Bart's going San Diego. I got Denver. I don't really see any other reason to call Denver other than Kyle Orton getting loose. What do you think fantasy fans can expect from Kyle Orton in this game, Bart?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think this is going to be probably the highest-scoring game of the week. I think this is going to be one of those games that you know, anyone who has multiple players going on their fantasy game, a team on Monday night, which I know you do against me in one of our leagues, it's going to be fun to watch. Kyle Orton is going to do what he does. He's going to top 300. He's going to probably throw for about 3 touchdowns. It's going to be a back-and-forth battle. I think Knowshon will get involved. I think the player that will probably score maybe close to 20 or 30, depending on how your scoring is, but that doesn't get a lot of notoriety, and people are overlooking it, Darren Sproles.
Hmm.
I think he's going to have a big game. The Denver defense, they're not very apt at actually covering these quick, shifty backs out of the backfield. Ryan Matthews is probably not going to play. If he does play, he's going to be very limited. Mike Tolbert is a pounder, a goal line back. He's not going to be the guy who's going to go out there on third downs. So you're going to see Darren Sproles get a lot of catches out of the backfield, even with Malcolm Floyd back and even with Gates back. This guy is going to play a big factor in the game. And I just think this is a fantasy football haven. Like, anyone who plays fantasy football, they drool for games like this. And I see an explosion on both sides of the ball.
There it is. Don't say we never did anything for you. We gave you a whole lot of picks. And Bart just dropped Darren Sproles on you, ladies and gentlemen. That's it for us, Bart. We did the damn thing. Everybody, go check us out. NeonTommy.com. Download the podcast. Start following us on iTunes. It's SC Football in the NFL. All the way through January. We'll holler at you next week.